Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as our Sunday school children are being dismissed today, why don't you get your Bibles? We are going to turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter number 24, and let's begin reading here at verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that how you feel today? Praise God. Amen, amen. And so just for a few minutes of time, I'm going to preach to you this morning. Devil, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. Why don't we just worship and praise him here today? Heavenly Father, you're so good. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated today. Amen. Amen. If we were to go back into the first part of this chapter, I'm going to read through it rather quickly, and I'm going to paraphrase it so we don't have to read all of it, but bear with me today. But the Lord spoke unto his people there. And he said, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, even Abraham's father, and they served other gods. Amen. They served other gods. The plurality of gods is not anything that's new. As a matter of fact, we read here in our text today, he said that put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. So the plurality of gods was even on the other side of the flood, but we do know and understand that there is but one God. And hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Praise God. We don't have time to get into that, but maybe someday we will. But what I'd want to point out is that there was an issue of serving the multiple gods even way back then. He said, put away your fathers that dwelt on the other side of the flood. They served other gods. I took your father Abraham, led him through the flood, and led him throughout the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed. I gave him Isaac, and unto Isaac I gave Esau and Jacob. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron and plagued Egypt, and afterwards I brought you out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued. I put darkness between you and the Egyptians and caused the sea to come down upon them. I brought you unto the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought against you, and I gave them into your hands so that you could possess their land. I would not hearken unto Balaam's desire to curse you, but rather blessed you. I brought you over Jordan, and you came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them unto your hand, and I sent the hornet before you and drove out the people before you, even the kings of the Amorites, not with sword or with bow. And so what the Lord is saying here in verses 2 through 12 He's just reminding them of everything that he had done for them. And obviously, we are looking at many different generations here, but I believe that, anybody at that given time would be able to recall some stories that Grandpa may have told them, and stories that was passed down from generation to generation, and so they knew and they understood everything that God had done for them, even from back in Abraham's days. And they thought about all of that, of how that, God brought Abraham from the land of idolatry, and brought him unto truth, and told Abraham, he said, everything that you see, I'll give it to you if you just keep going. And so he understood Abraham, and they thought about Isaac, and how that Sarah had had Isaac at such an older age, and the blessings of God had been upon them. And then of course there was unto Isaac, Esau, and Jacob, and so some of them remembered that story. They remembered how that Mount Seir was given unto Esau, and Jacob and his children went down into Egypt, but God would bring them out of Egypt via Moses and through the Red Sea. And then there's the Red Sea, and the Egyptians pursued, and they thought that that was the end, and the Lord opened up that sea, they walked through, and God used it to destroy all of the Egyptians. He put darkness between them, and the stories throughout the Bible just continued to go on and on. They wandered around in the wilderness. They were provided manna on a daily basis. They were provided water from a rock, and their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never grew old, and just the blessings of God was upon them every day of their lives. And when they made it unto Jordan, the Jordan River parted. They went across into Jericho, and the Bible teaches us, the Lord said, the people of Jericho came out to fight you, but he said, I gave them unto your hands, and God did things that was miraculous to them, so that they could be able to possess the city. And he said, I brought you into this land, and look at all of these people that have come up against you, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites. I delivered all of those into your hand. And then there was times that I sent the hornet before you, and the hornet went in and drove the people out of the land, and gave you the kings of that land and stuff, and you didn't even lift a sword or even a bow. And so God, in speaking, and Joshua in retelling the story that the Lord had placed upon him, was expressing the blessings that was placed upon the children of Israel, and telling them, you know what, God has been good to you. And then he follows this up, as he said, and he told him there, he said, I have given unto you a land which you did not labor, and cities that you did not build, and you dwell in them, and vineyards and olive yards, which you planted not, but yet you do eat of those. And so he reminded them of all of the blessings that was upon them. Right in the middle of trials and tribulations and turmoil and choices and such, and there they are at a place and a time when temptation is upon them to do the things that they were not to do, and God expressing his blessings upon them, he puts a dilemma or an ultimatum before them. And Joshua speaks this here, as he said, now for the Lord, and fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve the Lord. That was the commandment. And then he said it like this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then you need to make a choice this day of which God that you are going to serve. Whether the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, amen, in whose land that you dwell, amen. He said, just pick whatever you want to do, but don't ride the fence line. Don't stay, amen, amen. Try to have the benefits of both. And he had already spoken, God has been good to you. And he said, but God is telling you that now is the time, amen, that it's time to make a choice, amen, that you either need to serve God, amen, or go out and serve the gods, amen, of the Amorites, in whose
land that you dwell in. And then Joshua made the declaration. He said, but I want it to be very, very clear in all of this. He said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Praise God. We shall serve the Lord. Amen. He told them that they needed to fear the Lord, to serve him with sincerity and truth. Put away the strange gods and serve God. Amen. But the declaration, the ultimatum was put there. Amen. It's time to make up your mind. I have grown to understand and to know throughout my very brief and short few years that I have had upon the face of this earth. For that's what life is. Life is but a vapor. Amen. Here to day and gone tomorrow. And if a man were to live 70 years, he's lived a full life. But what is 70 years when it comes, amen, to be compared to eternity? What is 100 years of age when you put that in perspective of eternity? And so just in my few short years of life, I have grown to understand that those that have an issue with serving God, those that struggle serving God, those that claim it's just so hard. Amen. Those that feel, amen, like I just don't know if I can make it or not. Amen. I'm going to tell you exactly where they are. They have not made a decision to really serve God. They're trying to hold on to the things of the world and trying to hold on to the things of the church or of God. Amen. And no man, the Bible teaches us, can serve two masters. Amen. It's going to create confusion. And so there's going to be thoughts that are going to run through your mind. Amen. Of what's so wrong with this? Or why should I not do this? And then there's the things that you feel, you know, I want to hold to the things of God. But it's the call of the world that is there that begins to lure and entice. And it's friendships, relationships, acquaintances, and even family that we are unwilling. And I'm going to say this very, very carefully. Amen. To cut off. And I'm not telling you to cut your family off. I love my family. Amen. I love all of them extremely dearly. But we've all made our choices. Amen. And some of us are going in opposite directions. And when you're going in opposite directions, what light has fellowship with darkness? Amen. It's hard to hold on to the things, amen, that those people love. Amen. And still hold on to the things of God. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to go to a relation, amen, to some type of party with my family. Amen. That there's a bunch of beer drinking and all of those other things. It's not conducive, amen, for Christian living. They know that I love them and they ought to have the respect that I'm not going to do those things and I'm not going to hang around them while they're doing those things. And how can you say that? Because I've made up my mind. Amen. Those places aren't for me. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to sit at the bartering table of salvation and see how much that the devil's got to pay for my soul. Amen. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not looking around every day to see what new thing that the devil has to offer for my salvation. Amen. I don't have to go looking for it. As a matter of fact, he oftentimes shows up on the doorstep of my heart, offering new temptations, offering new vices, offering new things, amen, to try to entice me and to lure me away from the love of God. Amen. But I have also learned in the short few years, amen, that the way of the transgressor is hard. And so with that said, I have no desire to go live that way. And so I shut the door. Amen. We're not here to talk about it. I've already made my decision a long time ago. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That does not mean that every day is happiness. That does not mean that every day is peace and tranquility. That does not mean that it's just a bed full of roses and everything smells wonderful. I have my days of being up and being down. I have my days of walking on the mountains and running through the valleys. I have my days of high anxiety and low depression, great joy, amen, and feeling strength, but yes, also experience. strengths and weaknesses, but I made up my mind a long time ago that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I'm saying I'm going to serve God come what may. Amen. If God never blesses me, if God never touches me, if God never helps me again, honey, I've got it all to say. God has been good to me. He's been good to my family. He's been good to me personally. I have no reason to walk out on him. I have no complaints to walk out on him. He loves me, and I know he loves me. He's faithful to me. He's there. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Why would I want to walk away from him? Why would I want to leave his house? Why would I want to leave the house of blessing and the house of plenty? No, sir. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And we see that the people answered Joshua, and they said like this, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Amen, in bondage. He said, for the Lord our God, it is he that hath brought us up out of and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all the way wherein we went and among the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. That's what it takes. It takes a made up mind. Amen. The power of a made up mind. Amen. That's what you got to make up your mind. You can't be wishy-washy in it. Amen. You can't try to have the best of both worlds. You're going to struggle. You're going to be torn between two decisions. Amen. That's what Elijah said there on Mount Carmel. He said, how long halt ye between two decisions? If God be God, then serve God. But if Baal be God, then go serve him. I just come with a question here today. Just how much happiness do you have in the world? Just how much joy do you have in the world? Just how many friends do you really have in the world? Just how much family do you have out there in the world? Just how many good times do you have out there in the world? Amen. My Bible said that there is pleasures in sin for a season, and that season's going to come and it's going to go. And those times that you thought you was in a high place, on the next morning you're going to realize that those friends really didn't love you. Amen. That they used you and they took advantage of you, and now you're broke, now you're down, now you have nothing, and you're back in that same place looking for happiness. Amen. As the old country song said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, a man that'll love you, a God that'll be faithful to you, a God that'll help you, a God that'll heal you, a God that'll raise you up, a God that'll help you through every situation in your life. Oh, let's give him praise today. Amen. I don't guess I have ever found one backslider that is truly, truly happy. When they get around, they all have a face of happiness. They all pretend and act like they're happy. But get them one-on-one and start talking to them. And get down to where the rubber meets the road. And you're going to see that it doesn't matter what walk of life that you live in, everybody walks down the same roads. I was talking with a young man one time, and he told me, he said, you know, Brother Cowan, he said, I work for some people up in the mountains. He said, and they are so filthy rich. He said, they have money they could start their fires in their fireplaces with $100 bills, not ever miss it. He said, they're so filthy rich, they have everything that they could desire, everything that they could hope for. He said, their house is enormous. Everything is so pristine and just immaculate. They have fine, fancy cars. They have everything. The house is huge. Everything that they could ever hope for. He said, man, it's awesome. He said, but they hate each other. He said, their marriage is continually bickering and fighting and butting heads and stuff. And he said, but when they're out in public, they all smiling and just, oh, life is good. Everything's going great. He said, but you get behind closed doors and they can't stand one another. But they know it's going to be a nasty, nasty divorce. I'm just pointing out that those that are out there in the world paint a picture that everything is going great. But when you get on the other side of the billboard, everything isn't so fine and so dandy and so great. You see, in the church, you may have been hurt. But for every time you've been hurt, I'll go into the world and I'll find somebody that's been hurt multiple times over. And we like to major on, but you know what? I've been hurt. I wonder if we could bring in, amen, some alcoholic or drug addict and just ask him within the last 5 years, how many times have you been let down? How many times have you really been hurt that on the next day you are disappointed in what happened? The story would be unending multiple times over. Amen. And all the while, you want to take a magnifying glass and magnify that one hurt. Magnify that two or three hurts. When every morning out there in the world, they're waking up with a damaged constitution. Amen. They're waking up knowing that they are one drug overdose wrong. Amen. One bad batch going wrong. Amen. In the wrong place at the wrong time. Living in a state of fear. Even though they think they, amen, and portray that they're mighty and macho. They know that all it takes is just one thing going wrong. There is no peace. There is no safety. There is no hope. There is no joy. They can have fun for a little while, but when it's all said and done and they wipe their forehead of the sweat, they think to themselves, I escaped one more time. What a life. What a life. What a life. And I'm not saying that everything is so wonderful in the church. And you know why it's not so wonderful? It's because you've got an enemy that's trying to drag you down. You've got an enemy, amen, that's doing his very best, amen, to get you to be lost, to cause you to be lost. Praise God. Who's my helper? Ah, there he is.
So you grab hold of that other arm.
Yeah. And so here we have this situation. We don't want to tear it, but you can pull. And so here we are, we're struggling. And you're struggling with things in life. Go ahead, pull a little bit. There you go, pull. Am I going to have to get a different man? Okay. All right, so now we're pulling and we're struggling. And you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I'm just struggling. I just don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Let it go. Just let it go. And if you'll let it go, you'll stop struggling. It's that simple. But too many people don't want to let things go in life. They don't want to let it go of hurt. They don't want to let go some friends. They don't want, that's why you're struggling. Because you refuse to let it go. And here you are trying to live for God. And the world's trying to pull on you this day. And you want to sit there and say, I just don't know what to do. I'm just struggling. Just simply let it go. Let it go. Let the bitterness go. Let the anger go. Let the unhappiness go. Let all of those go. And make up your mind and say, as for me and my house, this is a day that I'm making a declaration. This is a day that I have decided we shall serve the Lord. Let's love him today. Young people that have a hard time living for God, it's because they won't let something go. There's friends out there in the world. There's family, cousins, and everything that's out there in the world. that's continually pulling and pulling and pulling. Amen. I'm not saying kick everybody to the curb. Amen. But if you will make up your mind, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. You know, I can sit here and tell you, we could talk for a long, long time. God is coming. He's coming. You know, all you got to do is look on the news this week and you think to yourself, well, he could come today. And Israel and Palestine are at war with each other and they're shooting rockets back and forth at one another. And it's just about basic all-out war going on over there. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's lining up. It's lining up. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not going to be much longer. And he that shall come will come. Is he going to find you struggling with something? Or is he going to find you made a declaration? You know what? I'm done with that. I'm going to serve God. You know what the devil knows? The devil knows Revelations 12 and 12. He knows that he has but a short time. A short time. And so you know what he's going to do? He's going to work extra hard on you. He's going to have all kinds of things. Amen. And you turn one thing loose and you realize, whoa, I got hold of something else. Amen. You're going to find out that there's a lot of things that you need to turn loose. There's a lot of things that you need to get rid of. Amen. Baggage that's out there. Hallelujah. And it's just the cares of life. It's the cares of this world. Amen. It's the gods of this world. Amen. That you finally got to make that declaration and say, you know what? I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of being wishy-washy. I'm tired of today I'm in and tomorrow I'm out. I'm tired of this back and forth business. I'm tired of being up and tired of being down. And I realize that it's nobody else's fault but my fault. Amen. And so I'm going to do like Joshua today. And I'm going to declare and I'm going to say, you know what? Today is the day. Today is the day. It would be good if some of you take that phone that you have and delete some contacts out of your phone. You know why? Because every time you start to do good, that one certain individual calls you. And you take a look at that and you say, I shouldn't do this. But you go ahead and you slide it over there and you'll answer it. And you'll start talking to it and all the care begins to pour out of their voice. They ain't called you in a month. 2 months, 6 months. They don't really care for you. And they're inviting you to everything. And how you doing? How's your family doing? And all that other stuff. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I know this ain't good. I know this connection is not good. This is not going to end well. Man, you ought to come on over Friday night. Now, I know I really shouldn't do this. Okay, yeah, I'll be there. You hang up and you think to yourself, what am I doing? What am I doing? I know this ain't going to be good. That's exactly where the children of Israel at that time. And Joshua just stood up and he said, look, this is the day. You need to declare unto yourself. You need to make a declaration this day. Devil, I am going to live for God. David got to that point. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and that I may inquire the beauty of that tabernacle. Amen. That's the only thing that I want to be. I want to be in church. I want to be around the people of God. I want to be in the house of God. I want to hear God's music. Amen. I want to be way, man, and all the excitement, the joy, and everything that's there, because that's where I really feel good. That's where I really feel love. That's where I really feel that it's all happening. Amen. And that's what David said. Amen. This is what I desire. It wasn't just to David only. We can go through the Bible person after person after person after person. We can see even Peter, amen, holding on to one thing and trying to hold on. Amen. But the cock crow, and what did he do? He let go of this and walked with this. Amen. And somebody said, yeah, you're one of them. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Okay, I am. And so the list just goes on and on. Oh, but he found mercy. Amen. We see that he would even preach the day of Pentecost. It didn't stop there. We go over into Paul. And we look at Paul. And Paul began to write, and he began to say a lot of things.
Amen. I don't think any of us have faced stuff like this. He said of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often in perils of water. Perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside all of those things that are without, those things that come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Later on, Paul would write unto Timothy, and he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Paul was fighting to keep the faith. Amen. And through it all, what was Paul telling us in all of this? Paul is saying there are many, 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 many times I could have quit if I wanted to quit. But you see, I made up my mind a long time ago. I am going to live for God. And so if it's persecution, I'm going to live for God. If it's quote-unquote blessing, I'm still going to live for God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to live for God. I've had my opportunities to quit, and I just refuse to quit. Devil, I'm going to live for God. Oh, yeah. He didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He went on and he began to tell the church in Rome. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are as counted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I've already made up my mind. I've already got a conviction down in my soul. I have decided a long time ago. I drew the line and said it's not going to happen. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor high life, nor angels or principalities, powers, things present or things to come, height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder if anybody else is feeling like that here today. Amen. I wonder if anybody else has got that mindset today. Amen. Are you low in the mouth against Jesus? Amen. Are you down in the dumps and thinking to yourself, I just don't know how longer I can hang on? You need to stand up and make a declaration. I'm tired of living life like this. I'm tired. I'm a child of God. I refuse to live in the mully grubs. I refuse to live in depression. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's time to stand up and to say, devil, I shall live for God. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm not interested in any other way. I'm going to live for God. Let's stand and magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. 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 What Paul was saying, he said, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, nothing. You know what that word nothing means? No thing. No thing. Nothing. So you put your name on it. You put your little love on it. You put your little trial on it. You put your little temptation on it. You, whatever it is that's trying you, whatever it is that's got a hold of you and that's pulling you, you put your name on that. Amen. And you make up your mind. No, nothing. 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 No matter what it is, nothing shall be able to separate me. Amen. If it's friends, let it go. Nothing shall be able to separate me. Amen. If whatever it is. Amen. Internet, phones, any type of lifestyle. You just put your name on it and say, am I going to let that separate me from God? Am I going to let that keep me out of heaven? Am I going to let those keep me from God? No, 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 no. Nothing shall separate me. I am persuaded. I'm going to make it all the way. I am determined. I'm going through all the way. I'm not in it to turn around. I didn't get to this place to backslide. I didn't fight this far to quit. I'm going all the way through. I said I'm going all the way through. Devil, I am going to live for God. Is that how you feel today? Is that how you feel today? This front is open here today. You can come make that declaration. Some of you just need to come and redo it all over again in your life and say, I'm struggling, but here I am, and I'm going to say it once again. Devil, a long time ago, I said, and I mean it, I shall live for God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, why don't you come on up and mean business with God? Hallelujah, go ahead, mean business with God. Make that declaration. Hallelujah, as I was studying and preparing last night, I sat down, amen, and opened everything up and began to look. Amen, this jumped out to me bigger than Dallas. Amen, I'm telling you, somebody's victory is on the other side of a commitment. Amen, somebody's breakthrough is on the other side of a commitment. Somebody's greater life is on the other side of this declaration. When you stand up and you'll be, you know what, the devil's messing with you because you have not declared it. You haven't made up your mind. And he knows that you haven't made up your mind. And so he's just going to keep on keeping on. But today you need to make up your mind and say, this is the day that I am going to declare it. May the 16th of 2021, I am going to live for God.